I was like preparing for one message and then another and then another. And then Pastor and I on the way home from Santa Fe were preparing for a marriage seminar we're doing soon. It's a 3-day seminar and we're calling it How to Build a AAA Marriage. And, you know, we have a little bit of experience. But more than that, we really know what it is to truly build a marriage that's strong in ministry. And so we're so excited. We're going to go teach 100 couples. And so we're super excited about that. But tonight, you know, I shifted all my hats and put the hat on for tonight, because women's ministry is my passion. Kids Gang is my passion. United We Can is my passion. All of the ministries under my leg are my passion, because God's given me the privilege to lead you and to lead people. And it's an honor. I never take it lightly. And so every time I go before the Lord, and we want all of you to stand, even you gang girls, that if you can't, if you physically can't, that's okay. But I want all the little gang girls in the back, I want you to stand. We're going to read God's word and we're going to pray. We honor the Lord by standing. Amen. I'm going to teach you that as part of discipleship, that you stand in the house of God when the word of God's being read, because we honor him. Amen. Honor the Lord always with everything we do. And if you're here tonight, it's because the Lord has something for you. So let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight in your precious name, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We've been building up to this night. What a beautiful atmosphere that's already been prepared by our precious worship team and the gang girls, God, and all that's been said and done, 5 minutes of fire, all of it, Father. We're so grateful, God. We're so grateful that you are raising up an army of women who are taking their place in your kingdom, God, who are understanding their potential and understanding by your Spirit how vital they are in this ministry and in your kingdom. We pray, Father God, that you just have your way, Father. And as we're praying, we lift up Leslie to you, God. We thank you so much for her life, God. We thank you, Father, that your hand is upon her and upon her baby, God. And we know that she is covered in your precious blood, Father God. We know, God, that you are taking care of her, Father, as she's in the hospital, Lord. We pray that you just calm her spirit, Lord God, and remind her, God, that this is just a time with you and her, and that you're going to do something special, Father. Oh, I just pray you encourage her tonight, Father. Encourage Devin as well, Father. We thank you for their precious baby, Elena, and the baby in her womb, God. Oh, Father, we thank you in advance, Father, for what you're going to do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want you to turn to somebody on your right or left and tell them how beautiful they are tonight. And then you may be seated. You may be seated. So we've been gathering together with our life groups, right? This is our third semester, so we decided to bring all the life groups into the house and to do a United Life Group seminar style or service style. And so that's what you're experiencing tonight. But, you know, part of women's ministry, a big part of women's ministry is valuing ourselves. How many of you know in order to do big things for God, and you're going to, you need to put a value, allow God to give you that value. And so many times, as we heard it tonight, insecurities and fears and all those things that hold us back limit us from doing all that God's called us to do. Tonight we saw a beautiful display of our third wave. Woo! Girls, you did awesome. So proud of you. That's one of my favorite songs, To Live Loud for Christ. Thank you so much. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And when I see them stepping into their calling as they did tonight, I feel like, you know what, we're so safe. If these girls, if we can continue to surround them with love and discipleship and care, they're going to be fine. And their mamas, you know, are serving the Lord. They love the Lord. They're surrounded by good influence. That's part of the, one of the biggest things that it'll take to to reach your potential, to make sure you're surrounded by the right kind of influence. So as we were saying, I was saying earlier, this is going to be my fourth time teaching this week, and it began with our kids gang training, and well, actually last Wednesday. Didn't you get blessed? You want to be a warrior? Come on, girls. You have your weapons in your hand? I was blessed ministering that because I feel like that's where we're at in this time, that we really have to rise up as soldiers. And then I went to do our kids gang training in San Jose, and what a powerful atmosphere was there. Powerful. Teachers came from all over Northern California, so hungry to learn and to grow. And we've already done this three times. We did it in Dallas and in Chino, and this was our third one. But out of all of them, I felt like this was the most powerful one, maybe because I wasn't sick. The other two times I had some things going on. But I felt that the women and the men, because we had lots of men there as well, were so open and hungry. And I really began to sense that there's a hunger across the board for people to grow. To grow in whatever ministry they're called to. And because without growth, you know, we'll stay stagnant and we won't go to the next level. But this ministry is moving at such a fast pace internationally as a whole that we have to stay in step. We have to keep learning and growing. And as Natalie said, with women, there's a lot more needs than there typically are with men. You know, call it whatever, hormones, whatever. But there's a lot, because there's a lot of things that God develops differently. It's not so much that there's more, I'm not calling y'all emotional wreck, but there's different needs that you have. And as you begin to grow in Christ and understand what God's doing and quit resisting with your emotions or with fear or with insecurities, you're going to see yourself go to levels that you never imagined going to. You just got to let it go. Got to let it go. You got to let God have his way. Because when you let him have his way, it is unstoppable. You become an unstoppable woman of God. And in getting back to the team that I serve on the kids gang team, I remember coming into that team feeling, well, what role could I play? What can I possibly do to add to this beautiful group of people? But the Bible says that your gifts will make room for you. And I experienced that firsthand. So I was given one responsibility, accomplished that, and then I was moved to the prayer ministry. And that's what I went to go impart, how we need to engage our children in prayer. But as I was teaching it, and as I was seeing the response of the teachers, I was thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, this is prophecy that is being fulfilled. You are using me in a power spot that I love and I feel passionate about, and that's in the area of prayer. And I'm teaching teachers how to engage the children's ministry in prayer, because we're living in a time where they need prayer. So I just had this aha moment. Remember Oprah, she used to say, did you have that aha moment? And I had just had this moment where I realized, oh my goodness, God is beginning to raise up women who will say yes to the calling of God and who will answer the call. And he's putting an anointing upon you, and you don't have to worry about it. He's going to teach you what to do. He's going to equip you. If he called you, he will equip you. And I just saw that coming to pass, remembering the first time walking in, feeling insecure, not knowing how I fit in, and then flowing in the actual power spot. And I believe that the person I'm going to talk to you about tonight is going to really bring that to life to you in a whole different way. Women who are insecure, after tonight, you're going to feel secure. Women who felt insignificant, after tonight, you're going to feel significant. Women, and when I say women, I mean gang girls, so excuse me if I don't say gang girls, but I mean you too. Women who may feel uncertainty in their life and in their faith today, your faith is going to get stable and strong, because I really sense that God's going to do something special tonight. There is something about impartation that takes us to the next level. And when a person teaches, as I am tonight, I'm just imparting to you something God's given me. So if I teach you about an area of breakthrough, it's because I've attained that, and I know that you can as well. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what tonight is all about. We believe in women's ministry that you are going to go to places that we dreamed of going. Because you should. You should even do greater things. The Bible says Jesus told his disciples that you will even do greater things than I. And that's Jesus. So if you give in and you let go and you let God have his way, he's going to use your life. Something I've been imparting to the life group leaders, in the in-between months, I've been meeting with them, and I've been imparting unto them a training on the Deborah anointing. Deborah had a very, very, very unique anointing. She was a special, special woman of God. She was a prophetess. She was a leader. She was a judge. She was a warrior. She was a back-to-back partner with her pastor, Pastor Barak. He was the leader of the army. He wasn't her pastor. He was the leader of the army. At the moment, he was. She was engaged in everything that God had called her to be. But the biggest and greatest thing that she was is a nurturer. She knew how to nurture people. One of the things I feel strongly that is missing in women's lives is the nurturing spirit. And what I mean by that is the actual desire to take somebody to risk whether they like you or not, or they're going to receive or not, and just take them under your wing and pour into them and nurture them. And on Sunday mornings, they'll get a text from me, these ladies, and I'll say, okay, today is game on day. Who are you going to impact today? Go find somebody to touch, somebody to connect with. And I'm challenging them, constantly challenging them, because I feel like you are so important. How many of you ladies that are in this room today have been in the church less than a year? That's a lot. How about less than 2 years? Okay, three? Amen. So three is our cap, it looks like. Three and under. You've been in the church 3 years and under. Now, in those 3 years, have you learned and grown like never before? Amen. And don't you believe that women's discipleship has been the best part of that? The biggest reason for that? Connecting with somebody else who's been there and done that. Amen. Who has experience to share with you, has something to tell you, and something that you'll be encouraged by. And that's what I've been working with these ladies about. I've been saying, it's okay to work hard. We can be the hardest workers in the ministry, and we know how to work hard. But if we're not connecting and we're not building relationships, then it's all in vain. And you're going to see the woman that we're going to talk about tonight, she knew how to build relationships. I'm also teaching them to be bridge builders between myself and the women that they're working with, because I don't get the opportunity to spend time with all of you or some of you. And so because of my busyness, I'm depending on them to connect them to you. And how they do that is they're letting you know my heart. Siobhan just shared my heart, part of my heart with you tonight. And that's to just encourage you to reach your highest potential in ministry and to be all that you're supposed to be in Christ. And if they're not doing that, then you're not knowing who I am. You're just thinking I have a title, and maybe some of you think I'm not approachable or that I won't spend time with you. You invite me to a cup of coffee anytime, any place, and I will drop things to be there. Amen? I will drop things. If you need my attention, you need to talk to me on the phone, you need a one-on-one, I will be there. But you might not know that, so I'm depending on these girls to let you know who I am. Because it's important. Amen? It's important. That's what the disciples did. They let people know who Jesus really was. Not that I'm Jesus, but they let him know who he was. He was a man of God that was, had experiences just like them. He was human, 100% human, but 100% God. He had the ability to do miracles and to love people and to tell the truth. To tell the truth. That was the biggest thing that they let people know. You might hear lots of Jesus's or Messiah's, but this is the real deal. This is the real deal. And I'm going to let you know why I know he's the real deal. And many times we won't know who another person is unless we know it through someone else. So thank you, life group leaders, for the last two semesters that you imparted into the women in the church, that God used your life and is going to continue to use your life. So thank you so much. And if you're one of those team leaders, Bible study leaders, can you stand? I just want you all to see who these beautiful ladies are. I think you know because you've been to all the classes. But these women, some of them are on my women's team and some God is raising up because I need them and I believe in them. And without them, I can't do everything. So they help me lead. So when you need something and I'm not around, look for them. Amen. You may be seated. To be stronger, they've taught you to go strong, be stronger in the Lord and to go deeper, right? Didn't all those discipleships, what were they? What was the first semester? Can anybody remember the title of the first semester? What? Say it louder. Okay, that was last year's discipleship. That's good though. Okay, I'm putting you on the spot now. That's good. Okay, yeah. Say it, Lena. I have called you by name. This discipleship or this series is I will finish what I have started in you. So we're going to see tonight and the rest of the nights that God will finish what he starts in you. That he is a finisher, unlike us. Sometimes we don't finish things, but God always finishes what he starts. You're his investment. You're his investment upon the earth. And he wants you to shine. He wants you to make it. He wants you to be great because he gets the glory. When you do great, God shines. Don't you want to make God shine? Amen. We want to make God shine. So they've also taught you to get closer to the Lord, to study your word. And to just trust him. If you can turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to read from the Amplified Version. And her name is Lydia. Now Lydia is a woman we don't hear a lot about. But she's an important woman. And you're going to see it tonight. We're going to start with verse 13. And I'm going to read a few scriptures. And then I'm going to give a deeper explanation of who she is. I read in the commentary something really awesome about her. So we see here that Paul's on a journey. He just got off a boat. And let's start at verse 12. And it says, and from there we came to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. We stayed in the city for several days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the bank of the Gadarenes River, where we thought we would be there for a place of prayer. And we sat down and we began to speaking to women who came there. Everybody say women. So we see that tonight you are women and you came here to get a message. In verse 14, it says, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, oh gosh, I'm so sorry, a dealer in purple fabrics, was already a worshiper of God. Listen to us. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention and to respond to the things said by Paul. And when she was baptized along with her household, she pleaded with us, saying, if you have judged me and decided that I am faithful to the Lord, a true believer, come to my house and stay, she persuaded them. Now, I love so many things about this woman. If you don't study your Bible or you don't study, deeper into the scripture, all you'll know is she is a woman that sold purple linen. That's it. And I think, okay, she was just one of the women. But no, the deeper revelation of this woman and who she was, first of all, you read there that she was a believer, but she was a baby in Christ. So that tells me she needed to grow. So she heard that Paul was coming to her hometown, and she thought, huh, I want to go hear him. I want to go hear him. I want to hear what he has to say. I mean, part of it might have been a little bit pessimistic, like, I'm going to check this dude out, see if he's for real, because I'm sure she also heard that he was not a Christian at one time, but now he was one, and she wanted to check him out to hear him. How many of you know when we come to church every Sunday, we come with a curiosity. We come with an openness to hear and to learn the Word of God. And when we have that openness, then we learn something. It's not, you know, how powerful the preacher is sometimes or how many scriptures he gives. It's sometimes more about you and how you open yourself up. And Lydia was open to learn more. Says she was a believer, but she wanted to learn more. And if you read later on, just 40 scriptures later, they had a relationship already. She was his disciple already. And not just himself, but the men of God he traveled with. She welcomed them into her home. Now, in the Matthew commentary, it reads like this about her. To testify her gratitude to those who had been the instrument of divine grace in this blessed change that was wrought upon her. When her heart was open to Christ, her house was open to the ministers for his sake. Ooh, that's hospitality right there. I'm going to ask you in a while, who do you open your house to? And I don't mean in the way of hosting them, okay? That's one way. But she opened her house. She already knew that they were ministers of the gospel. And that they were welcome to be to the best entertainment she had, which she did not think too good for those whose spiritual things she had reaped so plentifully. Nay, that they were not only welcome to her house, but she was extremely pressing in the importance with them. She constrained us, which imitates that Paul was very backward and willing to go. In other words, she convinced him, come on, come on, I promise you, you're going to be taken care of well. I'm going to feed you beans and rice and sopapillas and red chili, and you're going to have a good time, and you're going to be introduced to New Mexican food or whatever they ate, pita and whatever. Pita bread, it wasn't sopapillas, but nonetheless, it was still good. And what I'm saying is the spirit that was behind this, the spirit of, I just want to host you. I just want to do something for you. You're a man of God, and now I've seen it with my own eyes, and I want to invite you over. So she was pressing on the issue, and then because he was afraid of being a burdensome to the families of the young converts and would study to make the gospel of Christ without charge, he was a little hesitant. He just didn't want to be a burden on them. He's like, this is a baby in Christ. I don't know if that'll be an inconvenience to go to her house and overwhelm her. I'm this giant in the faith, and I have a lot to do. I have a lot of studying. I'll have a lot of preparing. And is she ready for that? But she didn't care. She wanted the man of God in her house, and she wanted to host him. And then it goes on to say, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away from thy servant. She desired an opportunity of receiving further instruction if she might be have him in her house for a while, become part of the family, to hear him daily in her house. She might not only hear him, but ask questions, and she might have to pray with them as well. And she may have him bless her house. This was a smart woman of God. She didn't just want them in her house so that she could host them, but she had an agenda as well. They can pray over my house. They can get this house in order or whatever it might take. She was like, come on, come on, please come to my house. She thought it a privilege. Everybody say privilege. To serve. She thought it a privilege to serve. She was hungry to serve. She wanted to serve the man of God, the men of God. 40 verses later, you see Paul coming right back to the house because now they're friends. She has become a disciple of his, and they're friends. And And he's got this relationship, and they have this relationship, and it's a beautiful relationship. Now, obviously, it shows that she is a very wealthy woman. She said her lingo was the best of entertainment. So I'm sure she had servants, and I'm sure she had cooks, and I'm sure she had plenty of rooms for him. But she wanted him in their house, not for that reason, but to release a spiritual anointing in her home. She wanted the man of God to pray over her house. She was obviously educated. She was obviously very successful, selling expensive material in a very exclusive area. She worked hard for her needs, and eventually she was going to support the ministry. How many of you know God entrusts us as women with a lot? He has given you gifts and abilities that you don't even know you have. If you will take a step, a leap of faith, and begin to use your gifts, God is going to use them for the kingdom. You're going to be a blessing. Some people say, well, I can't preach, but can you cook? Well, I can't speak, but can you serve? Well, I can't do this, but can you greet? Do you have a smile on your face? Do you love children? We have children's ministry where we're raising up warriors for the next generation. They are the next generation, and we're not babysitting back there. So it's not a babysitting job, so you don't have to be worried about that. We actually have an agenda back there, and they're getting raised up. But some of you might say, well, I don't know how, and I don't know if I could. And but if you just take a leap of faith, you might be the greatest children's worker we've ever seen. You might be the greatest at it, or you might be the greatest usherette, or you might be the greatest greeter, or even a worshiper. There's things inside of you waiting to come out. God wants to bring them out, but you have to first invite the Holy Spirit in to this home, your temple, and say, God, do that deeper work in me. If I'm shy, if I'm resistant, if I feel like insecure or full of fear, or even maybe afraid or lazy or rebellious or whatever it case may be, ask the Lord to remove those things from you. Because if he begins to remove those things from you, then what happens in that place is an obedient heart. And then all of a sudden, you'll want to just do things, and you'll say, don't worry about it. In Victory Outreach, I feel this is the best training ground in the whole world, because we were all nobodies, all of us. We didn't know how to get, you know, we didn't have it together. We didn't have any qualifications. God qualified us. He qualified us. He raised us up. He taught us. He trained us. He put everything inside of us. You're going to be amazed at how much you have inside of you if you will just invite the Holy Spirit in. Lydia invited the Apostle Paul in, and it was the greatest turn about for her life. So number one, we see that she worked hard, and she was a very successful businesswoman. I'm sure she was a self-learner. I'm sure she was very assertive. I'm sure she was a woman that had a great influence where she sold her merchandise. God, I believe, has businesses for some of you ladies. I mean, Jolene, you are the best cake maker in the whole world. Isn't she amazing? The girl could have a business, but instead she uses it for the kingdom of God. And I don't know, you know, maybe the Lord would have her do that on the side as a home director's wife and a new minister's wife. That would be quite a challenge, but I'm talking about that beautiful gift. I don't think you knew you had that in you, did you? No. She just started baking. And she perfected her baking. And that baking turned into some great, great cakes and cupcakes. Oh my goodness. I look forward to them every time they're around. I think there's a new one I need to try. Piña colada one. Oh my gosh, that looks so good. And then how about that chantilly cake version that she made? Oh my God. Okay, stop talking about that. Dessert is my favorite thing, can you tell? I actually go to the restaurant and look at the menu and see what the lowest calorie thing is on there so that I can have dessert. because I love dessert. But she was a successful businesswoman. And some of you have a business inside of you that's ready to come forth. Some of you have some, you don't even know it. You just have this great idea. You know, quit letting your ideas just be an idea. Start to put it to practice. I know I'm going to be a book writer one day. I have some books inside of me. And my leader at our gang, our kids gang training, Dodie, Sister Dodie, told me, start writing. Okay, I will. And I believe that we need to just start releasing what God has given us, because the kingdom of God will be blessed. Amen? We'll be blessed. So even though she was successful in her physical job, God wanted to make her successful in the ministry. She could take all these great qualities that she had as a businesswoman and now use them for the kingdom of God, including her finances, because eventually she was a supporter of Paul's ministry. And she was a blessed woman. God continued to bless her. Could you imagine how much more she was blessed when she began to contribute to the kingdom of God? I'm sure windows opened up for her for even greater businesses. And purple was the best linen. I'm sure she went and even got even greater linens. The point being is that when you place what you have, feeling that it's little and insignificant, into the hands of God, who is big and great and mighty, then it becomes powerful. It becomes so big in the Lord and such a blessing to each other. So I'm sure there was a little bit, because when you're a business person, you think on the practical side. I have a lot of friends who are business people, and they don't just think, like, you know, by faith. They work hard. So theirs is more practical. So how is it that you're going to use these finances, or how is it that you're going to do this, or how is it that you're going to do that? And, you know, I'm sure she went to observe Paul that day and be a little analytical, because remember, the Bible says she was a believer, but she still needed some discipleship, because it talks about how she was opening herself up. So I'm sure she heard that Paul was really saved, that he wasn't that old person anymore that persecuted Christians. I'm sure she thought in her mind, I want to go check him out and I'm going to see for myself who this guy is. One of the greatest hindrances in your spiritual growth is to be a woman who chooses to look through the natural eye. If you're going to grow in Christ, you've got to quit looking through this natural eye and begin to ask the Lord for his spiritual eye, which is discernment. And what else? Love. What else flows from that? All kinds of things. All the gifts of the Spirit flow from that spiritual eye, because you have a spiritual heart. Amen? You get it? So I'm sure here she could see one thing, but God wanted to open up her eyes to another dimension, the spiritual realm, and to show her that not only was he a man of God, but that he was going to be used to influence her and to disciple her to be the greatest that she could ever be. Discipleship is one of our greatest tools into building the army. It's one of our principles in women's ministry and in the ministry period. And it's scriptural. Jesus told his disciples to go and to disciple, to make disciples out of men and women. To make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them. Amen? And that's what discipleship is. And if you're going to grow to be that woman, then you have to let your guard down and let someone in. We can't live these exclusive lives anymore, and these little lives where we're isolated in our four walls, and nobody knows who we are, and we don't let anybody in, and we don't want to let them in, because what if I say something and now they're going to talk about me, and now they know, and what will they do with that information? And, oh, that's my weakness, and I don't know if I can share my weakness, because am I going to be judged? And if you're a leader, am I going to lose a position? Listen, we're coming into a place right now where we need to want to have God more than ever. We need all that God has for us. We need to open ourselves up, be an open book, and say, God, you already know me. And now I want somebody else to know me. And somebody help me grow in this area. That's what discipleship is. We're not perfect. So we need people to speak into our lives and to help us grow and to help us understand and to be accountable for what we grow, what we're learning, so we can grow. To let our insecurities go. I love that devotion tonight. It was powerful. And that's another greatest hindrance, is that insecurity. All those fears, all those lies. Listen, we're not that person anymore. We are women of God. You've got to believe that He has you separated unto Himself. That He has things to pour into your life that are going to make you greater than you are today. That you will reach the potential He has for you as you let Him in. In our ministry and in our lives and in women's lives, we do have unique needs. We have very specific needs. But in United Women in Ministry, we provide an avenue for all of that to be met. We have discipleships, we have trainings, we have church, we have retreats. We don't just go away on retreats just to go away or to women's convention, but they're very intentional because there are specific mandates and orders and specific things God is wanting to impart into your life for that season of your life and the life of the ministry. So we're going somewhere as a team. We're marching. We're moving forward. And those are parts of the way we do it. We get discipleship. Amen? We have women that God has placed in our lives to challenge us. How many of you have been challenged by somebody lately? Then you're being discipled. If you've been challenged lately, you're being discipled. And just today I got a phone call from somebody inviting Pastor and I over for lunch. And they're inviting us into their home. Hello. We like to come to your home. We're not going to go judge you. We like to eat. Invite us over. We'll come eat. And she invited. I said, food? Oh, we'll be there. But I told her, thank you for providing an opportunity for fellowship. That is so important, that we provide opportunities of fellowship. That's what life groups are all about. We provide an atmosphere for people to fellowship and get to know each other. We do our best to do that in our church and in our ministry. But some of you are such great hosts, but we would never know. Open yourself up. Open your house up. Don't be afraid. Who are you inviting in? Is it TV 24/7? Is it Facebook 24/7? Is it Sister 411? What is it? Is it 911? Emergency. I don't know. But you know what? It's time that we start doing what we used to do, what they did in the Bible days. Having home fellowships. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing more powerful than that, in fact, than to get to know each other and to get to hang out with each other, get to celebrate each other, get to know what's happening in your life. Do you need help? Do you need prayer? Do you need anything? Today when I was over to see Leslie, I said, Leslie, this is going to be a tough journey for you. I said, but I'm here to encourage you that you're not alone. And I know you're not alone. And I had the best time with little Elena. Usually when I'm around Elena, she's in somebody else's arms doing something. And so I never get to have time with her. I fed her. I walked her. She smiled. We talked. I had the best little time with her. I love her baby. And I love her and I love Devin and I encourage them. Guys, you're not alone. This might be a long journey, but you're not alone. So I asked her, are people calling you? She goes, yeah. I said, are they visiting you? And she said, yeah. But I'm telling you, another month in the hospital, we should bombard her. Amen. Not to where she gets out of bed and has to move around, but just love, with love, phone calls, texts, showering her with our love because she needs us right now. She needs us. This is not going to be an easy journey, but we want her to stay healthy so this baby will be healthy. Can you help me commit to doing that? Go create some fellowship for her. She didn't say she's lonely, but I'm sure she can get lonely. And I know she will appreciate that. And I know some of you have already done that. So I say thank you. Thank you on behalf of Pastor and I. Thank you for loving Leslie and Devin and helping them at this time. I believe, like Lydia, we face challenges as well. As successful as she was, she faced some challenges. Otherwise, she wouldn't have opened her doors for growth. And if we're going to grow in Christ and be the women of God and be part of this amazing third wave that's taking place, be supportive to the people that God is raising up right now, then we have to go deeper. Everybody say go deeper. We have to allow God to go deeper. We have to allow His Word to go deeper. We have to allow His Spirit to go deeper. We have to allow His love to go deeper. We have to put our guards down and our walls and say, I want to grow. It's time for me to grow. It's time for me to let go of things that have held me bound for so long. How many of you want that? Lydia was an amazing example of a woman that went from being successful in one field into being successful in the ministry as well. So that tells me it's possible to juggle. It's possible to work hard in your regular job and also work hard in the ministry. Too many times I've heard, well, you don't understand. And, you know, they haven't told me, but I hear it. You know, how am I even know I hear everything? Well, you guys don't understand. It's so demanding. My time. Is your time more important than anybody else? God will give you what you need. He'll multiply your sleep. He has literally multiplied my sleep this week because I'm running on about 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, literally. And He has multiplied my sleep. He strengthened me. I have the joy of the Lord when I wake up, because when I put my head on that pillow at night, I say, thank you, Jesus, that your word says that my sleep will be sweet and plenteous. That's a promise. So it's not sleep that should get in the way. It's not busyness that should get in the way. It's not anything else. But when our hearts are hungry to grow and to learn and to be all that God's called us to be, then we're going to allow God to make that happen. Stand with me tonight. We're going to do something special. We're going to break up tonight in some groups, because I want you to get a breakthrough. As your leader, it is my greatest desire to see you get the breakthroughs you need. And maybe you have something that's really, really heavy that's weighing on you that we don't know about, you haven't voiced, that you haven't talked about. Or maybe you're sharing the greatest mountaintop experience ever. Whatever it is, somebody needs to be encouraged by what you say, and somebody is there for you to pray for you for your need as well. So we're going to break up in groups of three, not any more than three, and we're going to talk about it for a minute, and then we're going to pray for each other. We're going to ask the Lord to give us the breakthrough we need to lay it all down, to lay it all down. Release it all to the Lord, and to have the courage that His Holy Spirit gives to each and every one of us to step out in faith, to make a change, to voice what we're going through, and to welcome our sisters tonight into our life. Welcome. To let somebody in is one of the greatest things that you could ever do in your life. It wasn't until the day that I put my guard down and quit thinking my leaders didn't love me, didn't care for me, didn't want the best for me, were judging me. It wasn't until that day that I let those things down that I began to grow. I can remember even one time in particular, sitting with one of my leaders, and I've had a lot of them along the way, and telling her, you know what, right now I've been rude to you to this point. I've been mean. I've been resistant. I've been rebellious. I've been disrespectful to you. I've talked even bad about you. I've gotten people to agree with me about you. But today I have no excuse. I don't want any justification. You don't need to tell me a thing. I just want you to know I'm sorry. I'm sorry for allowing all of that bitterness to get in my heart. And I want you to forgive me. Because if I'm going to go any place in this ministry, you're taking me there. I acknowledge that you're the leader God has placed over my life. And I can't get there alone. And I'm stifling my own growth. So I'm asking you to forgive me. And I remember just tears weeping down her, you know, coming down her face. Tears of relief, like, thank God. I've been waiting for this day for a long time. But, you know, she was patient with me because she saw potential in me. She saw greatness in me. She could have sat me down many times. She could have told me many, many things many times. But she didn't. She was patient with me. She was patient with me because she believed in me. And just as Siobhan said tonight, that I've been patient with her and with many of you, I will be that with anybody because it was done for me. It was done for me. And I believe in you. I believe that there's so many things inside of you waiting to be birthed. But what's holding you back? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Tonight I want you to close your eyes just for a minute before we break up into groups. I want you to begin to think about that. What are the things that are holding me back from being that mighty, mighty woman of God, to being that free woman of God, to being that successful woman of God that God wants me to be? What are those things? If it's a guy for you single women that you're not supposed to have in your life, then tonight you have to decide. I'm not going to pursue that anymore. It's hindering my walk. If it's bitterness in your heart towards a leader as extreme as that, you need to let it go. Because you're not going anywhere else without your leader. This ministry works in tiers of leadership, and our structure is vital. If somebody's trying to disciple you and speak into your life things that you know are true and you've been resisting, tonight you have to decide, I gotta let them go. I want to be a victorious woman of God. I want to be the woman that God wants to use for the ministry. I want to be a blessing to others. I want to help. I want to serve. I want to be all that God's called me to be. And as you think about that, just quietly break up now into three people together, and let's have some talks. As the music is playing softly, let's talk. Let's share. Let's be vulnerable tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. If you girls on the team want to go connect with somebody else, that's up to you, or you can stay together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need each other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise, God. We give you glory, God. We give you honor, Father. We thank you, God. Just talk about it and then begin to pray. chance to talk, all of you to share, can you please start praying for each other? If you're still talking, that's okay. Go ahead. But if you're done with sharing, then start to pray for each other, because that's where the breakthrough is coming.